now on, it will be quiet.
I think Deepak has something to tell us.
I'm here to take care of you. I will speak for you.
I never know what to do with this.
It's always the other way around. How you put it.
Okay.
The most of the bad words I had at the beginning.
I put it to this process down.
So you start, okay. I think, right?
So we are looking at the speech, no?
Yeah, so we are going to talk about the papers in the speech.
So how many sessions you attended?
It's not a good question, I think.
I mean, did you attend any session?
All of them, of course.
Well, you can't put down multiple sessions in the same thing.
Yeah. That's,
oh, yeah,
like
that's true.
That's fair, you're...
Okay, bad answer, right?
So any general impression or feedback? So for any of you, it's your first conference or maybe first at all? I mean, in the sense that it's a... In the speech is really big conference for speech.
Yeah,
so,
so
did you attend before?
Well, Geneva, that's why I'm here at the Geneva, your speech.
Yeah, so then I think you have attended before.
Yeah, we met in ICSOT, right? First time. So how did you like the conference anyway? When you compare to the others, the previous one?
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting, but only annoying thing is this multiple sessions, and sometimes
like
you can't able to go to oral talk, these oral presentations most of the time.
Why?
Because like posters is, you can spend a lot of time posters, looking at many posters than sitting 20 minutes for one oral presentation.
Mm-hmm.
So in 20 minutes you can see at least 2-3 posters and you can directly talk to people. Even I found like very few people in some more presentation.
Right.
I think most of the people are on posters. And
okay, so you attended mostly posters, I guess. So how many
presentations?
Presentations
are hardly a handful of five or...
I like the invited speaker about the implant in the year.
Oh yeah,
it's quite good.
He was from Austria, right? The guy?
I think so,
yeah.
Well, he's very famous, I think, for that, right? He's the inventor of the implant.
Okay.
For the year, I think.
Yeah. Even some panel discussions on that human speech recognition, reducing gap between ESR and HSR. It was a bit interesting, a lot of arguments. And definitely, it's mainly the differences, different approaches of engineers versus linguists or phoneticians.
I realized it was there were panel discussions only at the place where I could see it. And that, you know, there were some boards saying that there is some panel discussion.
Oh, okay.
But I couldn't get, no one knew where is it, what it is, when it happened, and why, and so forth.
Yeah, even inside the panel discussions, I think one is really held in small room, so people were really crowded.
Wow, this is not this. Speech is not just referring to papers and these things. So how did you like this about that?
It's
a bit hot still. Did you go around?
Yeah, we went to the Costa Caparica there.
Okay.
With the bus we were supposed to take the direct one, but we didn't.
So you went to a beach, like Atlantic Sea coast, or?
I stayed 2 days before, so I went. You just take the train, maybe that's the same, I'm not sure.
Uh-huh.
Train north.
And it's not so far from
half an hour
train.
North?
Yeah. West or north, I don't know.
Okay, so you stayed at the same coast, not you didn't go to the island, cross the river, where is the bridge?
Not very far.
Okay, so.
We went to like far south to Lagos. And
with Ahmed. Oh, Ahmed.
These people. That was really good. Those beaches were really good. Yeah.
And more south to.
Yeah, even down
the hot through the water.
But really, it was really hot. The south, it's more than 35.
Yeah, but I think Lisbon, those days were pretty
Lisbon
good.
Lisbon was good.
Seemed to me quite not cold, but still okay, like reasonable.
Yeah, even local transport.
Oh yeah.
It's fun, like, but yeah, most of the time the buses are really crowded.
Yeah, I was happy to be back in Swiss after few days. It's better to be here, I think.
Yeah, because it's really big city. Now,
yeah, it's
right?
Big city, many people.
I was very surprised that even the trams did have AC there.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
Those new ones, right? Not
yeah,
the old one.
Right,
yeah.
But can you imagine something like in Czechy?
Yeah. But it's not necessary to have it. Maybe.
Well,
sometimes, yes,
it
but
was
not so much.
Better. If you would have to spend an hour and a half that Hemant and the others spent while going with a bus to the
conference
center from the hotel that we were, that was a direct bus and it took them an hour and a half.
Yeah, but that's not good. Direct bus is not good. Like, so you can go to the central place and then
you can just take the tram and the train.
Okay.
That was the right choice, but. To take something which was direct, it was
way.
Not definitely the direct as anything else.
Well, what is the place? Kaisho? Kaisho, that the central, I mean, where we changed the bus to.
No, I don't remember the name. Is it there?
Kaisho Shoulder. Kaisho Shoulder.
Sounds
maybe you can check the book.
Oh, you got
it. It's there. Like I used to find bus number from the book.
Originally, I bought it because I marked some pictures, but
the one.
Yeah. Only one which surprised me a bit. It was speaker recognition, I think, but it doesn't really matter. They were trying to model covariance on different components for GMM. Instead of using a diagonal. But then if you use a full, it's too much.
Yeah.
So they use some approach where they tie them automatically. And after that...
Pruning.
it's
like
more tying. It is still full, but different components are tied. Different components of the matrix tied.
But what does it mean tied then?
Equal.
Like,
yeah, but then you have to store the whole matrix and plus some extra information what is tied to what?
No, you have to store a minimum number, a reduced number of parameters, and they are tied in a linear way, actually, sorry, not equal.
It's like all the semi-type covariance
matrices.
Yeah,
exactly,
that's it.
So they reduce, it's in between the direct covariance versus full covariance. So you try to reduce some parameters by tying.
Interesting thing is that they applied it on speaker recognition, and on the features before they had three different ways to decorrelate the features, and they showed it without this, with diagonal GMM, or with this, and with this, with semi-tied covariance matrices, it was much less sensitive to which decorrelation procedure you choose. So
they obtain better results with that?
Also better, but of course it depends on the number of parameters you put.
Right.
Your
but if you compare it with some baseline, let's say you use just GMM with
diagonal. No, I think they got good results with just using diagonal, so definitely.
I think it was even slightly better,
yeah.
And no decorrelation before, like.
Maybe decorrelation again, they do DCT or KLT or
LDA is there.
LDA.
The main point is to like make it faster, the decoding or what?
Make it possible to use full covariance matrix.
Yeah. But there must be the sense, right? Because once you decorrelate the data, then you don't need to.
No, but still, there is still. That's why like people come.
So that means that the decoration is not optimal, right? So
yeah, definitely it's not optimal. So it's also like doing along the diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
again.
So it's completely impossible to do it with full covariance matrix?
Why? It's really computationally really
yeah.
Hard.
Yeah.
Computationally.
So see, suppose
it's
1390 for every.
Of course.
Yeah, so
from the point of view of computation, but otherwise.
No problem, but
okay.
If you see so many models and
yeah.
Okay, so,
many
so here you have to choose either many,
yes,
many things to store and huge computation.
Yeah, that you can see, you can't really like even, you can't, the models itself is like 38 times more than that.
Right.
So,
right.
So
yeah.
If you have like 5 megabytes or 10 megabytes of models.
Depends.
But even I think it's really,
yeah, it's
so like impossible for really big room.
Yeah, improving performance. Almost impossible for like LBCSI. It's impossible to use
yeah,
it, right?
Yeah,
you've got
really
dimension 39 times 39.
Yeah, for
yeah.
Every year. So you have to store all this.
Yeah.
So there are
it's
no
impossible
there.
To use it. And you cannot even train it.
No,
right? More
in
less.
The procedures you can find them.
Mm-hmm.
They are better. The
from
PCA, LDM, and LT.
Oh.
It's not really anything new, but they just applied that to your ID.
Yeah. Different task.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I found one paper interesting. I think you know Vivek. This is Vivek's paper on like variable scale feature extraction. Normally we used to fix it. Window for feature extraction like 25 milliseconds or 30 seconds. Here he is proposing variable scale.
Mm-hmm.
Because the fixed scale is non-optimal for, it's non-optimal because like for ovals you can have
much longer
and for plosives and these things
mm-hmm.
really shorter, like even around less than 20 milliseconds or so.
Okay.
So he is proposing like this variable scale window kind of online for each segment.
Why it has to be online?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can do like you can measure and you can do, but he's basically doing some likelihood ratio testing. So it's the main idea is like suppose you have a one segment, so he's trying to find the stationarity, quasi stationarity of that segment.
Right.
Like extend it as much as possible.
Yeah, as much as possible.
Right.
Like, yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, definitely you have to assume some the minimum and maximum size of your one. So he is using
minimum.
What
is the
minimum? Minimum is I think around 4.5 milliseconds. I think maximum is 60 milliseconds.
So isn't it
smaller minimum? Yeah.
So the minimum
2.5 milliseconds.
No, I think minimum is 20 milliseconds.
20 milliseconds.
Yeah. 4.5 milliseconds is kind
of
shift.
Or this.
Oh, yeah.
20 milliseconds minimum is.
It's, I don't know.
Because
of not as small as it should have been, but
no, you can
maybe
use
because of other processing after.
No, mainly because of MFCC computation because.
Yeah.
Yeah, it becomes
well,
really noisy. Like if you use.
Noisy, yes.
Yeah, 10 milliseconds means you have only 80 samples for and then
right.
You have if you use 24
sure.
filters, the filters won't get any samples.
Okay.
So.
But it's not an intrinsic limitation, it's just because of
Because of computation. So even I think even he can find less than 20 millisecond windows
okay.
also, especially for
and the shifting is still the same or not?
Shifting
okay.
yeah, he's using
yeah.
12.5
yeah,
millisecond yeah, shifting is almost same.
So
but the problem like
how do you mean?
Like, no, how many frames per second do you have? Is it, again, like 100 frames or it's less? Or even if you keep variable length of the frames, right?
Yeah.
You can still keep the same.
Yeah, he's keeping same length. Number of frames. He's using 12.5
millisecond. I understand this would have sense for, I don't know, speech coding where you want to preserve or you want to encode it into less frames, right?
Yeah.
But Why to do it for speech recognition? It means that
number of frames.
Yeah.
No,
why to keep variability in the length of the frames? Why not to keep the same length? What
actually, the problem is again, you see the shift is the Nyquist frequency if you compute modulation spectrum.
Yeah.
So again, if you change this shift, the modulation spectrum Nyquist frequency changes for each window. So
right.
If you want to do again. another high level feature extraction again, it will be a problem. So but he's like he's here describing this, because even this itself is a problem, keeping the fixed frame size, because you're analyzing your this segment many times.
Right.
So this shift
right.
will, suppose mm-hmm. if you find one segment of 60 milliseconds and then
mm-hmm.
you're doing this 10 milliseconds, so every almost I think you have five frames you're analyzing the previous this
right.
already
right.
segment. So,
right, right.
so again this may blur some frequency
mm-hmm.
transitions
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
yeah, but the problem is again this bottleneck is here, like you can't change your Nyquist frequency modulation.
Right.
I have two questions. First is essentially how he's doing it, right?
Yeah.
Well, once he gets the frame, like
yeah.
from here to here,
yeah.
then where he advances to start with computation of the next frame?
So the main idea is like first he take the some window, some
yeah.
some samples,
mm-hmm.
then he assume somewhere some variable and point there is a change.
Okay.
Then,
not,
then
it's not symmetric.
It's not symmetric. You can it's basically you have to like again do for all the samples in that 0 to n. So then what he does is like he proposed like some likelihood ratio test based on
okay.
maximum likelihood. So that is really simple. Like so what he does is like so he computes the residual. He does the LP analysis
okay.
and then he computes the residual
mm-hmm.
and he takes the residual energy of full signal, like these 0 to n samples.
Okay, so
the
what do you mean full?
So maybe
from some sub window or the whole 10 seconds of speech or what?
No, the like
okay,
he assumes
also some
yeah 60 milliseconds or something he start with. So
okay,
so then
something longer window than the
yeah,
one we are
yeah,
speaking about.
Yeah,
okay?
Then he can split that window at point n, say point n. So then you will have 0 to, no, you can segment.
Okay, so you have a window and then you split it to two parts and you
yeah.
shift the point
so
where you split it, or?
Yes, see, so
okay.
this is your window. So then you can move your, like this. You can move your point.
Okay.
So splitting. Then this will be like one and this will be second.
Okay.
But again, he assumes some initial sizes for these windows.
Okay, so basically
yeah.
we have.
He don't start with start with zero sample or something. He's
right.
starting
yeah.
with.
Yeah. Okay.
So the left window starts at 20 milliseconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you're already here. Like, suppose this is full signal. You're already here. So right window is
okay.
should end at 12.5. So you have to search basically in this range. So.
Okay. So once you have say 1 hour of speech. You start at the beginning,
yeah.
and first you try with 20 milliseconds.
Yeah.
Then you shift to 25 and so forth.
Yeah. And then the maximum is 60 millisecond frame for him.
Okay.
So
and
if
you
don't find anything,
where do you stop actually?
60 milliseconds.
Yeah, I know, but you start at 20 and go to 60. But which point do you choose?
No, the point is depending on the likelihood ratio. So he got
okay.
So
which
he suppose this.
Ratio.
So this is suppose say segment one. And this is segment two. So he compute this error here. So, and then he gives some kind of, in terms of this residual error. So this residual error is for full 0 to n samples. Then divide by, suppose this point is say n. So 0 to n, and then like. So this is the basically the main equations over here.
So he's maximizing that?
Yeah, he's finding the likelihood for full frame, and then it's basically a likelihood ratio test. So
mm-hmm.
he's comparing the likelihood of the full segment divided by the likelihood of the sub-segment.
The likelihood that something and something. What is the likelihood?
Likelihood of the, like this likelihood is this error estimate of the residual.
Okay.
So residual power he can compute. So.
Yeah,
after doing LP,
yeah.
he can get a residual, and then he can compute the power of the residual. So that
okay.
he is proving that power is
so
again maximum like load estimate of your LP parameters.
Mm.
So that way it's interesting. It's you don't really need to do lot of computation. You
so
just need to take the error of residual of this full window and then residual of energy of these sub windows, and then you can just divide them. And then the only thing is, like, again, he has to use some threshold to decide. That's only the
problem.
He got, he's finding something more around 3 or 3.5 is the optimum threshold. But the another advantage is, like, it's not really changing speech recognition, whatever, it's not really changing because of the threshold. So you don't really need to, like, fiddle with threshold a lot. So,
yeah, but why the main value which you are comparing to, the overall value or overall likelihood or whatever you call it, why he's using the whole signal for this? Because so if the whole signal was steady somehow and it would be able to be modeled by LP model well, then the residue will be very low. So he's supposing that the whole signal won't be able to be captured by LP model and that the residue would be high enough, or why
is
he comparing the two?
Yeah, I understand. This is the actually basically some theoretical proof. Like, maybe if you're interested, you can see, and he's quoting from,
you know, I don't see the point of dividing.
No, this is from again
stuff.
Yeah, statistical signal processing. What they say here is, like, suppose if you analyze two distinct pith order this LP analysis in the same stationary analysis window, the coding error will always be greater than the ones resulting from this analysis in two windows, two stationary windows.
So he's
basically based on this theorem. So
mm-hmm.
so what he's saying is, like, if you do this error, it will be always greater than the these errors of two stationary windows.
Okay, that's reasonable. Because actually, if the whole signal would be able to be modeled by LPC, then anyway he has to design some framing.
Yeah.
So even if it's very stationary, by dividing over this whole stuff, he is able to find some reasonable boundaries.
Yeah, probably.
Makes sense.
Yeah, this may be, I think he's getting some improvement, but...
How did you cope with what you mentioned sometime before, that if it's a very long stationary period, for each 12.5 frame, you will actually get the same signal, no?
He's just, he's normalizing the energy coefficient, because energy is really affected a lot.
Okay.
So he's...
Well, it's to be power, not energy, definitely.
Energy, there's a C0 component, like, he's using MFCC, so
yeah, but
he's normalizing the C0 component
by the length.
Yeah.
Then power, instead of energy.
Power is
energy over length, power.
Yeah, it's time, like, yeah. It's okay, like samples, or you can say root mean square energy or something.
Okay. So, but this. So, two things I still don't understand. This is supposed to be only for MFCCs and these easy features. One question I wanted to ask before, does he preserve within the feature vector the framing he's using finally? Because does he somehow put the information about what's the size about the frame to the feature vector itself, or he's throwing away this framing?
No. What you mean, like the window length?
Something like this, because
the
recognition could be good for the recognizer to know what was the chosen framing by this.
But I think it doesn't use, I guess, because at the end, like, you take these features and you try and model. So it really matters what frame shift you're using for models. It goes.
He gets one feature.
Like, it doesn't really depend on, because suppose if you take your case, like, your window may be longer, so it doesn't really matter, like, what size window you use or not. But at every 10 milliseconds, whether you give some features or not really matters. No? So. See, you can use 30 milliseconds or 50 millisecond window.
Oh, probably I didn't get it. So The framing is actually equidistant. Just the windows are
framing, I always think it's really
crazy.
If you change framing, it's really
it might be difficult.
I think even it's really problem, no? Like if you try even models also, I guess if you change, it's not only with this modulation spectra and shifts in deltas. Because
maybe it's possible to use it somehow. But then there is information about therefore information is somehow included.
Yeah, but it's really complicated. I think if you use that would be.
Can you imagine the transformation to get the modulation spectrum out of such a stuff?
But this is kind of
there is also some not paper, but I saw the algorithm. I have been using in the called temporal decomposition. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah,
like
the Ethel's temporal decomposition.
I don't know who proposed it. I just had it from Bimbot, Frederic Bimbot. Do you know the guy? He's French, somewhere now with Telecom French. I don't know where he's working. But we were using it for speech coding.
Yeah.
So we just had a speech and you had decomposed the speech into such segments, temporal segments, which were stationary inside.
Yeah.
And then you can more or less quantize those segments somehow and use it for encoding. Let's say
first this is proposed by we read one paper in our ruling group. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I have implemented it. It's quite
they
workable.
They were using
like
SVD stuff, single value decomposition for that, and it worked pretty well. Like also,
Ponza is also worked for
this.
Yeah,
exactly.
So why don't you still use it?
He was quoting.
So well.
It has been used for speech coding. Nobody uses it for recognition stuff. I think I never heard it.
Yeah,
but you
use the speech coding, so do you still use it?
No, I don't. Of course.
Why?
Yeah, that's a good question. Maybe.
Yeah, he was quoting that paper also. Like he was telling this is kind of optimization criteria what this temporal decomposition is doing. Like you're trying to segment your signal into like discrete windows and then.
Right.
So, but he was telling like this relationship between optimization and then quasi stationarity is not really obvious.
Mm-hmm.
So, stationarity is again different. No? Stationarity is.
Yeah, that's true.
This is optimization. We want to like see some few segments which can really represent
mm-hmm.
all.
Mm-hmm.
So, maybe that's why like this may not be really.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
That's interesting.
Yeah, this one. Yeah, he's getting some improvement.
That's important.
Well, there should be, after each conference, there should be something like 10 people should sit down, read the papers, rank them. You know, all the similar papers within one session, say, focus to this topic and say this is the best, this works slightly worse than this one, and throw away what is not that good. And
I think people
the first
would like
three papers which are the best should be implemented and used from the time onwards. Like forget all the MFCCs because it's too old, and then start building the story on the new stuff. And
but again, getting that 10 papers is really difficult task. It takes maybe years. And again, definitely, like who will choose the 10 papers?
I know.
Exactly.
This is just
if
a theory.
Those things are practically kind of really. But I think these kind of things, what you said is really good. Like if people start implementing. Like some people propose something in feature level, some propose in something in model level, but these two are really independent. No one really combine these two.
And everybody is using different training and testing data, and then you don't.
Especially features, like suppose if somebody come with different good features, again people.
They show it works for Timid, but then you try to use some different databases. You see, it doesn't work.
No, it's not really sure also. Like, suppose people, you can't really force people to use same features.
Sure.
They will be happy with their own features and their own scripts, so they are a bit reluctant to change features every time. And
so it's a little bit what NIST is trying to do now.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So NIST evaluations.
Yeah. Because everyone is still comparing to PLPs or MFCCs, and there are so many new systems, and everything is new,
but nobody
is still 20 years old.
Those new systems are still not general, like, you know, like those ELP and CC, because everybody knows that it works somehow,
yeah,
right? For any kind of data.
Huh?
That's why they are comparing to that. So once somebody will come with something new, okay,
yeah,
he is showing it works for some data, but...
Yeah, especially LVCS,
you know,
are in really big systems.
Yeah, yeah.
Then people...
First, it's difficult to show that it works for all the data, right?
Yeah.
Because...
Yeah. Because, it's again,
so
we don't know.
And
every paper then should contain all the results from NIST evaluation or some standard task.
No, then there will be only one conference in 3 years or something for speech.
Yeah, but then we all optimize on the same task.
Yeah.
You cannot get
yeah.
anything new that after some time.
But again,
so it could be you would have to publish the results on this standard task, and then you could say, well, I also tried on this and this. Yeah, but then you run out of time.
That's why you can publish only once in 3 years.
No, but then only it makes some progress. No, exactly, you're correct.
But I think people are doing, suppose in InterSpeech there was some challenge for speech synthesis. So what's like, it challenge was really good. Like, so they give the database, so you have to work on that database. What technique use is
yeah,
it's your choice, like, but the database and then the results analysis is they decide. So even speech recognition also, some tests are coming, like for phone segmentation or something. People give some database and then you have to you can use whatever you want and
mm-hmm.
you have to produce.
But
even for features,
for example,
also, like,
can you use from some
features
data
also, I think
from the outer world?
Yeah, they design the data such a way that it's really like really real data.
Yeah, but they give you also training data?
No,
for
just
speech synthesis, it's like they give you some data.
Oh,
so whether like used for training or you can do like data driven or like model based approach or whatever, like at the end then they will ask you to synthesize some sentences and you have to synthesize them and then
okay,
you have to send them.
So they give you only the training or development data?
Yeah, training
data.
Only no development training. No.
Yeah,
how do they evaluate?
It's again subject to because for speech synthesis.
They ask people to sit and
listen.
Yeah,
listen and
yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even it's mostly they use native speakers.
Mm-hmm.
They can really get you.
Okay, but they don't have any measure, like you have an original speech.
Yeah.
You transcribe it.
So. Yeah, so even they propose some kind of word error rate. So you have the original speech. So the synthesized speech, is there any words which are not matching?
Mm-hmm.
So even speech synthesis, they also introduced this word VWER terms.
Okay.
But this was really quite successful, like in this conference into speech.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people participated.
Right.
I think even they're continuing this for next year. And
it's just TTS, right? Text-to-speech.
Text-to-speech.
Right.
But I heard like even for ICASP next year there is some competition by Martin Krug, Sheffield, and on this feature extraction
mm-hmm.
stuff. So at least if you make tasks simple, focused, then it may be good to compare these features. But if you use some large vocabulary system, it takes 6 months to build them, and at the
mm-hmm.
end you don't know whether your features are really
right.
So maybe that's why like people are always using PLPs or MFCCs. It's such a like lot of time involved, so you can't really check.
So maybe, I don't know if somebody like NIST will have one recognizer and you just plug a different feature. But
yeah,
mm-hmm.
but at least in India we have this numbers recognizer is almost kind of free, so everybody is using.
Right.
So that's what we are doing, almost like we are putting different features. In. I think numbers recognizer is not really different from. At least in EDAP we have almost the same. You are using 29, that's why it's different. But
yeah, a couple of people at EDAP, but there are already two different setups.
But at least
are they?
27.
Ham
and we're all using 27. So.
For OGI numbers?
Yeah.
Stories and numbers.
Different setups? Like some people use this setup and some EDAP?
Yeah.
I think we use distinct train and test set even. The different sets of quantities.
No, but the problem is you're using only digits, so maybe that's why you.
Well, I don't use only digits. My MLPs are trained on everything.
No, but test set is digits. Your
test set
main
digits,
task
yeah.
is digits. Yeah, that's a leakage. But OJ numbers, other, like now we're a little bit converged, like we're using 27 phones and before it was like 24, 25. But it's better, like once you have like
so
whatever the back end, then you can put features like whether they're gammas or like spectral entropies or MFCs or whatever. Then at least you can see.
It would be nice for OR maybe.
Huh? Yeah, yeah.
For
but
for
Aurora is.
Aurora.
Aurora. Aurora.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, but Aurora, is it really big database or I mean, how much time it takes to set up system and then.
No, it's fast.
It's fast.
I don't know. I've been working with that.
But the problem is, Aurora, again, these models are word based models.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so again, here we use triphones and. So. But differently, right? If you want to show noise, I think it's you have to show on Aurora.
For noise conditions, yeah, it's pretty
Aurora
good.
Aurora is real time.
Well, those recognizers are made there. You just use them. That's it. You don't have to play with it. Which even if it was forbidden in that time, right? So you have a recognizer, just use it.
Yeah.
Don't play with it.
You can.
You just play with the features.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
the
noise
wouldn't
be comparable.
Right.
Yeah,
exactly.
At least, I mean, those studies, I think people already did for even in ICSLP 2002.
Yeah.
A special session on
right.
features for Aurora. So
yeah, I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
With David Pierce, he was.
Yeah, yeah. This Qualcomm XE features and
yeah.
this
exactly.
OGI features and all this. So there are already people. But again, like at the end, like for LVCSR, people are using PLPs or MFCs or I think all this.
Who is the one who makes, who actually uses what we try to do here? Is our company, so because it's not scientists. Scientists just start from PLP and then design new features, new backend or new anything, but they start from the old stuff. But who is the one who is using these results which we publish and try to make?
But maybe
we are using those results
for publishing another paper.
Yeah, but once you finish your PhD, you go and
but not
it's over.
Not everybody. Maybe
and those
stays.
Who don't, they stay and publish another papers, and they but they
but maybe
turn into life, no?
Guillaume,
turn
you can tell me, like, you work with these Siemens people, like, Siemens or these
yeah,
Daimler
yeah.
What kind of features they use, like these? Any,
I don't know, you know, they are extremely secretive. I had a hard time just to get the signals. So I asked other questions, but it's quite tough.
Yeah, even I didn't discuss anything with Sunil also, like more technical discussions.
Yeah.
Yeah, see these kind of things are big.
Yeah, they have to.
But do you have any like feeling that whether they go for all these new features
yes.
or they usually use only?
I wonder which level they are using.
They have, yeah, they have
maybe.
To do some tests in their Mercedes, some speech recognition tests. But it seems now, at least Daimler, they mostly work on dialogue management, but not much on features and recognition.
But even they don't believe, like, with one paper or two, I guess, because at least for them, no PLPs
sure.
or MFCs, they know that, okay, these things work
exactly.
on every
yeah.
tag, so, okay, we can put hands on these things.
I doubt they are trying right now.
Mm-hmm.
I doubt that at Daimler they are trying right now, but many other companies.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Maybe like because Sunil is working in Nokia, he is expert.
So we can hope that Nokia
yeah.
will be using Tandem.
Oh. But we are not sure. Even
no.
Sunil won't tell us.
Yeah, I cannot.
Well, many people play with Tandem, right? Like MIT or who is using this?
No,
not MIT.
No, this
somebody.
Cohen. You mean like?
I don't know. He like told us that somebody is using that very. Actively, like okay, it works for them, and they are close to like industry, like there is, it's a research group.
So it's not related to ICSI.
I know. I don't think it's ICSI. Somebody else. Who, I don't know. Somebody knew us, but I.
But this voice signal company,
like
no?
AT&T or what?
This voice signal company here. Henik always mentioned.
Cohen.
Oh,
company.
Yeah.
What they are using you?
Jordan Cohen.
I don't know. He's even. If Qualcomm? No.
Voice signal. They make recognition
for
the Samsung phones.
Right. No, I don't know.
Yeah, but they have like really many recognizers. Like
yeah, I think so.
Maybe
yeah.
differently. They may be using PLPs or
maybe they are using PLPs, and but I believe that
NASA
there is still some NMS stuff.
Rasta
up to,
or
yeah, Rasta or whatever else.
Yeah,
all those decorrelations and transformations. I think it's there, but more or less it's again based on an XOC source.
Yeah,
mm.
Yeah,
or
whatever is certain to work, and they use it. They don't use anything which is too new, which is not.
New is really definitely.
Yeah.
Because like they would at least see at least 4 or 5 years of results of some new features,
like
some consistent results.
It's like a NASA, you know, they use 486 machines to put to, you know,
space or
spaceships, because it's known to work perfectly well, or Pentium, not any P4 or whatever, because it's safe, it has been working for 20 years, and then only it's
well
on 20.
But that's a different situation, because
yeah, of course.
Right?
Yeah.
They need that it doesn't crash that machine. If something happened with the machine and the alarm system, it doesn't matter, right? Somebody will fix it and change it. But
Another issue is like again the computational issues. No? If they want to make on mobile, they don't want to really use some fancy, really expensive, computationally expensive features. So all these.
Hinek also told about this Cohen's cell phone, which he was showing to work with the LVCSR.
Yeah.
He was saying that there is something really, really simple, the decoder, I mean, not the feature, but he was mentioning something to the decoder. It's just
phone recognition or something.
Even not Viterbi, just even.
Yeah, something like no DTW or something.
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm not really sure.
But most of the mobiles, they use DTW kind of thing. All these.
I don't know.
So voice calling, calling at this.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because that's easy, like because
sure.
They don't really need to put a lot of memory and these things. Otherwise, if they want to build a real recognition.
But there, you could send an SMS, I think, or something like that to dictate text.
Yeah.
So
even
on the phone.
Yeah.
Some new one or.
Yeah. The phone that
from the
Cohen.
That's a similar one to what Erwin has, for example. He was showing it live on MLMI, last MLMI conference.
And
you can look at the video and play.
But which phone it is?
It's Samsung.
Samsung?
New phone.
Whatever, some which you can buy, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Commercial.
But the software is always available?
You can train it, like on
what
medium
mean?
Speech?
No, the software is, again, on top of mobile, or like it comes with your mobile?
Well, they just bought a mobile, and based on the OS it's using, they
no, the thing is usually these kind of facilities are like not normal, so
no,
they may charge
this is
more
the
or like
phone. This is not the commercial stuff with the
software. Yeah, definitely they may charge for more money, again some extra bill for this using this recognition engine or something.
Or you can just buy that application, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, like it's
what?
Like you've got some mobile phone and then you can buy from another company some such application that you can dictate your SMS or whatever.
I don't know if it's already the case.
I don't know if it is done now, but
like maybe like if it can't really recognize you,
but have you ever used like a dictation system for Windows? Those
I have used once like this Dragon, that was kind
Dragon
of good, like
and I heard that it worked very, very well.
Because even in when I was working in like in Edinburgh, like one guy he got some problem with hands, and then he was always using this dictation. Even he used to write a lot of C++ code with dictation. Like it's really good, like so. But you have to really try, and then you have to kind of
your speech.
Yeah,
okay.
You have to get used to the
get
system,
used to
not the
system
too.
Yeah, it's really like you have to get used to the system, like how to say
all
the call lines and this thing system. How, but it's really funny. Like he is able to use it for like years, and he used to write a lot of code.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really great.
By the way, you should be the one to ask. Is there anything if I am just a private person and I want for free any software which is able to read me a book in English, for example that festival, am I able to put the text to the system and to in real time to listen to the
festival?
Festival is able to
read, I mean it reads
to
like
read just a normal plain text in reasonable comprehensible English. so that I can understand it.
Yeah,
I think
you can, the festival, you can just call like this. There are different kind of, again, how you call the festival. So you can just give the full interactive, is that there is an interactive. So then you will get the all the colon and other things. If you want to like read full text, then you can say like the full text, like those syntax, and then it will speak till it finishes.
And it's
text.
In real time on the
machine.
It's based on the iPhone, right?
That's why it's real time. Like, otherwise, it's a bit difficult. And it's okay. You can easily understand. So it's intelligible.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
And Fistool is good. Like, now it comes with all the Linux boxes also. So it's already
the iPhone that I was trying to install it, and there are other voices like cat voice and these voices. This is not.
No, there are so many voices. Like,
because
again,
I don't know which.
Which
what
voice
what is running? If it's the iPhone or which approach this is?
No, mostly the festival, what you get on Linux machines is the iPhone based on it.
So it's
they supply few
samples of the iPhones.
Yeah.
So you've got it installed in your machine here?
No, it's already
there.
If you just put festival in
here.
Festival, right?
Because it comes with that Linux software, you know, it is open source.
And have you tried it?
Yes, I've tried.
And?
There are some built-in, like easy voices, which you can. There is a default one, completely synthetic, which you cannot understand at all. But then there is a iPhone synthesis. I think it is the iPhone synthesis from the something like cat voice.
Yeah, cat voice. Like there are like they.
This
they
is
have
so, but this doesn't sound very nice. And we were playing at the summer school with them, actually with the authors, and they were playing us some.
New voices, like,
and it sounded like a human. It was great. But
that's the difference. That in CSTR we use this unit selection. It's not iPhones. You have really large inventory of the speech.
So this is not.
But those voices, they are
not
at release
or something.
Yeah. No, it's free. They will be releasing soon, I guess.
But
so maybe you can just.
It's not here so far.
No, it's here on the web. Then it won't come with your Linux software. So you have to again. Download from.
Okay, I'm fine with this, but I can.
Yeah, you can download.
Make
it
run on my machine.
Yeah. The voices are called multi-sync.
Okay.
Multi-sync some voice. So you can download from the voice, from the web.
And the engine is in the festival.
Yeah.
So it's just a voice.
Okay. So voice is like the database of the speaker who speaks with this text. So it's really. Large database, so the quality will be better.
So
you can find similar.
Still real time.
Yeah, it's more or less, but not exactly like. It's 2 times or 1.5 times. But you can prune like how much you want because.
Okay.
So this is again like, that's kind of my PhD work. How, in this system, like how you choose the units and how you concatenate.
Mm-hmm.
So there are again cost functions and bitterly.
Yeah, it's
so you can always optimize, you can put some thresholds and pruning, then you can make it real time. So then again, compromise between the quality and.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But still, it's good. Like now, you can just check multi sync and then voices.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really good.
And you just have chosen some text. Any text you just put
just
in.
Yeah,
I
just used the Douglas Adams that book in our.
Okay.
But only sometimes, like, it can't, like,
just
all
general
this.
English text book. I try.
It can read, how does it read? From which, how to say it? Is it possible to read PDFs or just standard text?
TXT.
Whatever. TXT, right?
Yeah, ASCII file. But you can take a PDF and convert PDF to ASCII.
But only the problem is again acronyms and sometimes it expands, sometimes it may not expand because it's not in the dictionary. It's not in the dictionary, like if again it's problem like so. But those things you can add, like if you're really familiar with history, you can add always.
I don't want to go too much into details.
But at least these things okay, like it won't really make mistakes. So often, like sometimes.
Anyway, who's the author of festival?
Sorry. Ellen Black and Paul Taylor. They started festival in 1960.
These are the Edinburgh people. Right?
Edinburgh.
And I thought that's the guy from CSLU from Portland who was there.
This Johan Waters or like.
Yeah, but there was.
No, what they did Portland OGA, they did LPC based synthesis. The festival is already like it's. Well,
no,
first we start with.
No, but that was the guy who is on a wheelchair now. He cannot move even. He's very in, like in the. Say that like he cannot.
Okay.
He just can't speak only through some festival system or something like that.
From Wuji.
No, yeah, he was working. I think in Wuji. He's very famous, but.
No,
I thought that he was the object.
No,
he was developed for him. Like, he was just first tester, I think, of the system.
Oh, okay.
Something like that.
Yeah, maybe because.
But it's not text to speech. It's just a synthesis, which means, like, it's more or less the same. But I don't know.
Yeah, first he started in CSR with Alan Black and Paul Teller.
Yeah.
Then it expanded to many places because somebody.
And Simon King is playing with it, right?
No, Simon King is. Is one of the others, but Rob Clark is the main.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Rob Voice is the.
Okay.
I don't know.
I think that's enough.
Yeah.
Say anything more about Lisbon or interest?
No other paper has heard it, just one paper.
Yes, enough.
And festival from Linux. It's very interesting.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's a great one, size.
Yeah, this paper maybe.
It's not easy to leave this room. We're not breaking anything.
Almost?